1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is the reading of God's word. Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zufu, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We ask that your spirit will work in us, that we may understand your word, that we may believe, and that we may be able to obey. Oh Father, teach us your ways, show us what your Son has accomplished for us, show us the reality of our eternal home, but show us yourself, that in your word that we will be able to meet our God and have fellowship with you. Oh Father, as we hear your word, we pray that our faith will grow, and with that growing faith, that we will be able to witness Jesus Christ our Lord, no matter where we are, no matter what we do. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our study of 1 Samuel, and this is our third sermon on 1 Samuel. And so far we've been looking at the book of Judges, especially the end part of that book. And from that section of the book of Judges, we saw how the fallen state of sinful man is utterly hopeless. Complete darkness, complete chaos, formless and void. But now in 1 Samuel, we see the light shining through that darkness. We see the kingdom of God coming, and we see order out of chaos. Yes, it is a picture of a new creation. And what we need to recognize as we begin the book of 1 Samuel is this. The time period of the end of the book of Judges, which we saw last couple times, and the time period of the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel are the same time period. And that is first thing you need to recognize. And there are many, many things you need to recognize. And we're going to spend many, many weeks, coming weeks, on this first chapter, because there are so many things to recognize here. And do you remember the sinful Micah of the book of Judges? Judges 17, verse 1. Now there was a man of the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. Now that Micah, we saw how wicked he was. Where is he from? The hill country of Ephraim. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 1, we read, Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. Now, the father of Samuel then And the husband of Hannah, Elkanah, where is he from? The hill country of Ephraim. Do you see it then? And I hope you would see it. The end of the book of Judges and the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, not only they deal with the same time period, the events in them happen in the same place. Do you see it? There are two kinds of people living in this sinful world. Same time, same place, but we saw wicked people doing wicked things when we looked at the book of Judges. But same time, same place, now we see Hannah and Elkanah, who are blessed of God. Now this, you must see it, because this is very, very important. It is just like today. Same time, same place, and there are two kinds of people who are living in this world. Believers and non-believers. Do you remember Micah? Judges chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. So when he returned the silver to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the silversmith, who made them into a raven image, a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household idols, and consecrated one of his sons that he might become his priest. Same time, same place. In one corner of that place, there is a wicked man who worships idols. Verse 6 of Judges 17, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And further in verses 12 and 13, so Micah consecrated the Levite, and young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing I have a Levite as priest. Micah made, according to his own sinful heart, his house a temple, and consecrated a Levite to be his priest according to his sinful heart, and even thought that God will now bless him. But at the same time and in the same place, we see another man in 1 Samuel, Elkanah. Or Elkanah. And look at what he does. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. In the same town, we see another man. And this man worships the true God of the Lord of hosts. He worships God and sacrifices to the Lord the way God wants and at the place where God has commanded. Every year, he goes to Shiloh. And now, where is Shiloh and what is Shiloh? Go to Joshua chapter 18. Verse 1. Why is it important for this person to go up to Shiloh? Joshua chapter 18, verse 1. Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. So, what was the significance of this place called Shiloh? Well, they set up the tent of meeting. What is tent of meeting? It's another name for the tabernacle. And what is tabernacle? Well, it was moving temple before the completion of the temple in Jerusalem. And obviously, the time period that 1 Samuel deals with is before the temple, the Solomon built the temple. So, at the time, there is no temple. They only have, well, there was temple, tabernacle, but not the permanent temple they had in Jerusalem later. So, Moses built this tabernacle as God has commanded him to do so. And this was the temple. And God met his people in the Holy of Holies in this tent of meeting, the tabernacle. So the place where the tabernacle was is the place of worship at that time. You do not just go anywhere to worship God. God commands that I will make this place holy wherever he chooses, and I will meet you there. You must go to the temple. At this time, you must go to the tabernacle. You don't just make temple in your house and just worship in your house. God does not accept that. During the Old Testament, then, God was in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle and later in the temple. They must go to that place to worship and make sacrifices. And today, it is the same. You must go to place where God has commanded for you to go to worship. Otherwise, your worship is not true worship. We must go to the true temple and the true Holy of Holies because God is now in the true temple in heaven. Thus, we must go to heaven to worship. That's why spiritually you have come to heaven. Otherwise, your worship is worthless, useless. God does not accept. That's why you must worship in faith, with faith. You must believe that Jesus Christ has accomplished this eternal temple, and that is where we have come. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches us, and we must believe. And because we are meeting spiritually in heaven, now in the New Testament time, physically, it could be anywhere in the world. Because no more physical temple. That was the Old Testament time. Now, there is no physical temple in this world because the true temple has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must go to that true temple to worship. That's why it doesn't matter. Physically, you could be anywhere in this world, but you must believe that spiritually, you are in heaven. Otherwise, you are just like Micah. Somehow you set up some kind of temple in this earth and you think you worship there and you think God will be accepting that worship. No. We do not just worship God any way we want to. That is not what the Bible teaches. Where are we? We are in heaven. We have arrived in heavenly Jerusalem, heavenly temple, That is what the Bible teaches us. So, again, the same time, same place, Micah just worships God the any way that his sinful heart wants. But we see another man who understands what God wants, and he obeys that. And when we read Judges 21, verse 19, so they say, behold, there is a feast of the Lord from year to year in Shiloh, which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south side of Lebona. A feast of the Lord from year to year. The verse does not mention which feast, but we believe it is the Feast of Tabernacle. Why do we believe that? Well, if we read Judges 21, verses 20 and 21, and they commanded the sons of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards and watch. And behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to take part in the dances, then you shall come out of the vineyards, and each of you shall catch his wife from the daughters of Shiloh and go to the land of Benjamin. Now, there it says the virgins come out and dance. Well, actually it says the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance. But we know there are virgins. Why do we know that? Well, if we read Judges 21, verse 12, and they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him, and they brought them to the camp of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Now, I guess most of you already forgot about the story that we saw in Book of Judges, chapter 21. Do you remember a Levite and his concubine? As he was coming home, he had to stay over one night in a place, a town where it's filled of sons of Benjamin. And the sons of Benjamin wanted to have a relationship with this Levite, but did not happen, so that they raped and abused this concubine, and she later dies. So what happened? The Levite cut her into 12 pieces and sent them to all parts of Israel. So, you know, many tribes in Israel, they received this body part of this concubine. So the whole Israel, they got really angry and they went war with the sons of Benjamin. So they killed Benjamites. But they repented and wanted the tribe of Benjamin to continue. But all the women, virgins of Benjamites, they were all killed. So they're at a point where this tribe will not continue because there's no one to get married and have babies. But these Israelites, they have swore that they will not give their daughters to the sons of Benjamin. So they see who did not come to the war with sons of Benjamin. Remember, whole Israel, they got angry, so they call everybody to join them in killing the sons of Benjamin. But now they have repented, but they cannot give their own daughters because they swore to God. You know, these people, in certain things, they're so sensitive about keeping the law, but in other things, man, they don't care what the Bible or God says. But, you know, you have to, well, no, we swear to God, you know, we can't do this. It is so amazing. Anyway, so they looked, and who did not come to join us to fight the sons of Benjamin? We saw one city, Jabesh Gilead. And Jabesh Gilead is from the tribe of Judah. So they went over there and killed them. And they captured 400 virgins from that city and gave it to the sons of Benjamin. But 400 is not enough. So they tell the sons of Benjamin to go to Shiloh. And here we see them telling the sons of Benjamin to catch these daughters of Shiloh when they come out to dance and make them their wives. Well, by that, we conclude that these daughters of Shiloh who came out to dance to be virgins. Now, a feast of the Lord in Shiloh. Now, the question is, what do dances have to do with sacrifices or the feast of the Lord? Because nowhere in the Bible, God tells Israelites to dance when they're worshiping God or sacrifice to God. Well, it's just like today. You know, we don't care what the Bible says. We want to worship God the way that we want to. You know, if a dance makes us happy, then that's how we're going to worship God. Why not? Who cares what the Bible says? Well, that's what you like. How do you know whether God likes that or not? Unless it's in the Bible. How do you know that God likes it? If Bible doesn't tell us. But it's what you like. So why not just do, you know, body worship? Now, even that phrase is ridiculous. We worship God in spirit. What is body worship? But who cares again what the Bible says? It's what we want. We like it. And that's all matters, right? If we like it. Yeah. And it's just self-centered worship. It's whatever we like. Amazing. But, you know, here we are. These people are dancing. But, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which you are going into, this is before they went into land of Canaan, God warns them, when the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which you are going into dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, beware that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods, that I also may do likewise? You shall not behave thus toward the Lord your God, for every abominable act which the Lord hates they have done for their gods, for they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to nor take away from it. So God warned them about how to worship God. You do exactly what I say. Do not add or do not subtract from what I have commanded you. And that principle actually is still valid today. You do not worship God just because that's how you want to do so. How arrogant these people are, that they think they could do whatever they want and God has to like it. Why? Because we did it sincerely. I mean, we gave all our hearts. So how dare God not like it? Amazing. Nowhere in the Bible do we see God commanding his people to dance during the feast and the sacrifices. Well, they must have learned from the other nations. And when you do study the history of other nations, voila, there you go. Dances. Many nations have dances in worshiping their gods, and they usually do this during the harvest. Virgins come out to dance to their gods, hoping that their God will give them power to multiply. So connected to harvest, they dance to their gods so that God will give them power to harvest babies. They dance in hope of getting married and having babies. Thus, we conclude that this dance happened during the harvest. And thus, if this dance is during this feast of the Lord, and this dance happens during harvest, then this feast of the Lord has to be the Feast of Tabernacle. Because Feast of Tabernacle happened during the harvest time. So that's how we make the connection. A feast of the Lord, the Feast of the Tabernacle, is one of the major feasts that God has commanded the Israelites to observe. It is a feast that all Israelites must know and participate because it is something that God has commanded them to do. But look, Judges 21 verse 19, the sons of Benjamin, it seems, did not know that such feast existed, and the direction to the place of the feast is given in so much detail, it seems that they did not even know where the tabernacle was. It's like you have not come to the church so long that I have to tell you where our church is located. That is exactly what we see in chapter 21 of Judges. They don't know where Shiloh is and how to get there, and they don't know about this feast of the Lord. Israelites neglecting what God has commanded them to do. The virgins are compared with Hannah in our passage. Hannah also wants a baby. And with her husband goes to Shiloh every year. And Hannah and her husband, they seem to know when, where, and what God wanted. Yes, at the time of the kingdom of God coming in the first Samuel, we see two kinds of people living in this sinful world. When we read the book of Judges, it seems that God has abandoned his people and forgot about his covenant, his promises. But here in 1 Samuel, when we see Hannah and Elkanah, we see clearly how God is faithful to his promises and how God is faithfully working in his people. It's a beautiful start of a beautiful book. Here we see, out of all chaos that goes on, here we see believers being faithful to their God. But the focus is not on Hannah or Elkanah. They're as sinful as anybody else. But what is really happening? How come Hannah and her husband is going up to Shiloh and worshiping God the way that God wanted them to do? What is really happening? It is the faithfulness of God. God is working. And as you come to the first Samuel, as you start reading, see, right after you read book of Judges, And you come to 1 Samuel, you have to realize, aha, God is faithful. He is faithful in accomplishing all the promises that he had made to his people. Do you see it? Do you see the faithfulness of our God as we begin 1 Samuel? And it is the same today. Just like when we look at the book of Judges, it feels like God has abandoned his people. And he forgot about his covenant. Just like today, when we look at this world today and how it is, and when we see so many churches drifting away from the true gospel, it seems that God is not working. Somehow God has forgotten his covenant. But in the darkness and the chaos of this sinful world, you and I, the believers, we live as the light. When they see us, his children, they have to see God still working, faithfully working. Do you understand the meaning of your life? Because when you look at what is going on in this world, people scratch their head. Where is God? What is he doing? You know, people say things like, if God exists, then why all these things happen? In this darkness and chaos, do you understand? You are the proof that God is still faithful to his covenant. That God still works. Now, some of you hearing that, filled with burden. Oh man. I understand what you're saying, but I don't live a life that shows that God is faithful and he's working. But my purpose, and believe me, brothers and sisters in Christ, my purpose is never, never discouraging you. I don't know, some people, they heard my sermons and then that's reaction that they... No, it's not about discouraging you. It's about encouraging you. Unlike the sinful people who live as if there is no king, like we saw them in the book of Judges, the believers live loving Jesus Christ, their King, and obeying his word, even though we know we don't do as we ought to. Do you understand, brothers and sisters in Christ? This is very, very important. You and I, the believers, are the witnesses of how God is faithful and how he is working even now. Even if you love your God just a little tiny bit, do you know how awesome miracle that is? Yes, nobody is perfect. And when you examine yourself and how well you are living that Christian life, of course, you will be discouraged. But brothers and sisters, even if you could find just tiniest bit of love for Christ in your heart, do you understand how awesome miracle that is? Because sinful heart will never love Christ, not even the tiniest bit. If just left alone, this sinful world, no one will love Christ. Not even the love that you show, the tiny love that you show in your life, not even that. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is how the sinful world is. Out of that, you, God has chosen and planted that love in your heart. Now, you're not finished product. Well, in one sense, you are. Spiritually, you are already finished product, but not yet. So even if you find just tiniest love, genuine love, that you love Christ, understand that God's grace has come upon you, because you cannot produce the true love for Christ, no matter how small it is. Brothers and sisters, you love Jesus Christ. How little it might be, you do love him. And that is the proof that God is in you and working in you. If God is not working, then all will be just like what we read in the end of the book of Judges. But look at Hannah and Elkanah. Do you see how the grace of God has come upon them? Yes, they are sinners also. You know, polygamy is sin. Elkanah has two wives. Yes, he is a sinner. But we cannot deny that grace of God has come upon them when we read 1 Samuel. Yes, they are not perfect, but they are believers. Yes, only our Lord Jesus Christ has lived a perfect life, and that for us. He is the only perfect Christian, Jesus Christ. And he lived that perfect righteous life for you. Now you and I who believe live with his righteousness. Thus our life is a life lived in terms of becoming more and more like him. We must live by faith. We must believe that God is faithful and he is working in his church and in his people, in you. Yes, we too, like Hannah and Elkanah, are sinners, but also the recipients of God's grace. Just the fact that you and I are here worshiping, believing that we have arrived in heaven spiritually, worshiping according to his will that he has revealed to us in the Bible, is the proof that we are the recipients of God's grace. Like Hannah and Elkanah, we too, at the time of God's choosing, according to God's word, worshiping the true God at the place of the true temple. We love God and we do best, our best, to obey Him. Yes, there is nothing that we do that is perfect, but we do believe. Though our faith is small, and we do love Him, though our love is indeed small. You must understand that you doing that much, though really, really small, is a great miracle, the awesome work of God. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 says, Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is a sinner. No one is righteous, not even one. No one acknowledges God. Not even one. Then the question is, how come you and I do acknowledge God? Then how come you and I, we do believe? What has happened to us? What is happening in our lives? The grace of God has come upon us. That God is in you and working in you. You know, this is beautiful sight. I look at the world. Everything is against God. Even people who say they are for God, they're actually against God. And if I just depend on what I see in this world, I would ask, where is God? Is God with us or not? What is He doing? But I live by faith. But on this glorious Lord's Day, when I see you come to the church, worshiping God with joy, I see God's faithfulness. I see Him working. Do you understand? Brothers and sisters, look to your right and look to your left. They are the proof to you that God is faithful, that God is working even now. Yes. You know, it could be much better. Believe. And rejoice. Because if God is not working, if He has completely abandoned His covenant, we'll have no one here. Not even one. The new creation is already accomplished and it is being accomplished even now. We believe our sanctification is by faith. Though the Word of God, through the Word of God, we must believe that God is indeed working in us. When we see ourselves and how we live, it seems that we will never be like Christ. It seems impossible. But you must believe what the Bible says. God is working in you and you will be like Him. It requires faith. We don't live by sight, but by faith. Even our own sanctification, come on, face it, brothers and sisters. If I judge my sanctification by what I see with my physical eyes, how can I ever have confidence that I am being sanctified? I don't see it. You know, sometimes it gets a little bit better, you know, a little better, then bang. But I'm not discouraged because I know what the Bible tells me. I believe that God is faithful to keep His promises. And one day I will be like Christ. This I believe. I don't see it, but I believe. And when you believe, not your physical eyes, but your eyes of faith will see what the Bible tells you. Believe, brothers and sisters. God is working in you. And He will never abandon His promise to you. Yes, two kinds of people are living in this sinful world. And you and I, we do believe God and we live by faith, not by sight. Just like when we see Hannah and Elkanah seeking God and worshiping God, we see how God is faithful and how He is working in His people. When you see how your brothers and sisters in Christ seeking God and worshiping God even now, see how God is faithfully working to accomplish everything that He has planned. Of course, just coming to the church is not enough. Just outwardly worshiping God is not enough. Even Micah worshiped God outwardly, though never truly worshiped God. Even those virgins went to Shiloh, but it didn't mean anything. Yes, we must worship God with faith. And truly hear His word with faith. When the whole world seems live in sin, living a life in terms of going against God's will, when everything that you see in this world is against God, yes, it is really hard to live as a Christian. It is often lonely and difficult. But we must live by faith. And with that faith, witness the reality of our eternal home, heaven. We witness that we do not belong to this world. But we belong to God. Let me read. Let me read. People are going to think I'm dying. This is my last preaching or something. Yeah. People say that they'd be so happy if they die during worship. But I'd be so happy that I die right after worship. Because I don't want to mess up your worship, you know. But I don't mind, you know, as long as I do my benediction and I die, that will be the heaven itself. But not during the worship, so don't worry, I'm not going to, you know. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Look at the faithfulness of God. You know, the whole world is fallen in sin. But here, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, look at the people who are touched by God. And only reason that these people can live this way is because of God's grace, that God is working. Hebrews 11 verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. Because Old Testament, Jesus did not come, so they died without receiving the promise, which is Jesus Christ. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are
seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they have been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Go down to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. What made Moses live like that? God is working. God is faithful. He will save all those people that he has chosen in the beginning. His will be done. No matter how it seems unlikely. Go down to verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, the David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Whoa. That they would rather die being tortured than being released so that they may receive the better resurrection. Do you understand what it's saying? Verse 36, and others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy. Man of whom the world was not worthy. This world is not worthy of me being here. Oh, yes. I am very, very valuable. The whole world is not worthy of my presence. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. By faith, they live and they welcome these sufferings and even death. Do you see the faithfulness of God? Do you see Him working? Why would these people live like that if God is not working? Do you understand? Go to chapter 13, verse 12. Beautiful verse here, 12 to 14, man. I hope all of you memorize this. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Jesus was crucified outside the city. You know what that means, outside the city? In the Old Testament, when some people are stoned to death, they were taken outside of the camp and stoned to death. It's a complete abandonment by God. Eternal punishment. That's what it's pointing to. Jesus died outside the city.
And here, the writer of Hebrews says, let us go out to him. Why? Because here, we do not have lasting city. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, it's all temporary. I consider more riches suffering with Christ than enjoy the passing away wealth of this world. Why? Because it doesn't matter how much I have of this world, it's not lasting. It passes away. We seek the everlasting city which is to come. If God is not working, why would anybody confess this and live with this faith? Do you love your God even if you believe your love for Him is so small? Do you understand how awesome miracle that is? How great is the grace of God? Let us rejoice. Let us be very happy. And that is all I want as your pastor. This is truly from my heart. God is my witness. What do I want from you as a pastor? I want you to be happy. That's it. But happy because of Christ. Not because you go to good school or not because you make money. No, none of that. I want you to be happy. But because of Christ. And if you are happy because of Christ, then I do not worry at all about you. You rejoice because of Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished already for you. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let me end with this. Repent of your sins and love your God and worship Him and completely trust Him. He is working in you and in His church, and His will be done. Amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Just like when we see Hannah and her husband, we see your faithfulness in working in your people. That is what we see when we look at our brothers and sisters in this church. We thank you for your faithfulness in working to accomplish all your plans in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us be able to completely trust you, completely depend on you, completely entrust ourselves to you. Oh Father, we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.